We have a great reading tonight from the 12th chapter in the letter to the Hebrews, which is a great, great book. I was challenged by it, especially the start. Brothers and sisters, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. It's like, yeah, I've never resisted to the point of shedding blood. Have you? Is that in us? Right? So I'm like, man, I'm soft. Right? I told somebody recently, St. Dominic Savio, so he died when he was like 12. He's known for a great line. He said, death before sin. Like, he'd rather die than sin. Me, I'm like, I don't know what my motto would be. It's like confession after sin. That's probably what my motto would be, right? And you know, we got to stir up a little bit some of the resistance to sin. Struggle against sin. Fight. We got to have a fighting spirit. It's important to fight against sin. And so that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. The author of Hebrews goes right in from that statement to this really great examination of discipline. Discipline. Is your spiritual life disciplined? And how necessary that is. Discipline is not a celebrated virtue in this culture. Not at all. In fact, if you say, oh, I got to have a more disciplined spiritual life, people will be like, ooh, be careful, don't get too rigorous, right? Don't get too rigid, don't get too dogmatic, right? Because we have this idea that, you know, God just, he just loves. Well, he does, but it depends on what you mean by love. Because love, if we know what the truth of love is always wanting what is best for the other person. What is best, what is truly good for them. So when God loves me and loves you, and he does, he loves us unconditionally, but that also means that he wants what's best for us. And what's best for us is to be trained, to be formed, to become in this life the type of people who can be with God forever in the next. That's the point of this life. So everything that comes toward us, the graces, the easy ones to receive, right? The joys, the celebrations, but also the difficult realities of this life, including our trials and our tribulations, are meant to shape and form us in a certain way. They're meant to train us, to discipline us so that we can be the type of people who can be with God forever. Now, what's often celebrated in this culture is, I would call it a philosophy of children. Not childlikeness, but like childishness. Do whatever you want to do. Follow whatever desire you have, because it's your desire. Therefore, it must be good. And anyone who says, maybe that desire is not good, maybe that desire will lead you immature, maybe you won't be the person you're supposed to be if you follow that desire, you'll be stunted. Anyone who says anything about that is like oppressive. That's why people don't like the church, the Catholic Church in particular, because it has so many rules. The rules are meant to shape us so that we can actually live in the freedom that God wants for us. Freedom and discipline are intimately connected. Most people in this culture wouldn't subscribe to that. What is freedom? It's doing whatever I want to do, right? Last year in my Catholic anthropology class, I quoted the famous, if not so great, Mick Jagger, Rolling Stones, right? I'm free to do what I want any old time. You know that song? It's a really catchy tune. It's terrible philosophy. It's philosophy of children. It will lead you to nothing that is great. Because it's impossible. You're not free. None of you are free to do what you want any old time. It's not possible for you. I'm not free to do what I want any old time. I'm a limited contingent being. Right? What is real freedom? Well, there's a great Dominican. He has a great name too. Servais Pincares, right? So Father Servais Pincares, he's a great moral theologian. And he said this. It is a definite contrast to Mick Jagger, but he was writing just Thomistically and with much greater depth. He said, freedom is the disciplining of desire so that the achievement of what's good can first become possible and then become effortless. So freedom is the disciplining of desire, not to do whatever you want to do, but to discipline, to channel those desires so you can do what's good. So first it becomes possible because it's hard to do what's good. It's easy to do whatever you want to do. It's hard to do what's good. And then as you do what's good repeatedly over and over, it becomes increasingly easier to do the right thing. So you can use all sorts of examples. I always like to default to sports, right? So Steph Curry, he's really free to shoot the ball from a really long ways away from the hoop. How'd that happen? Oh, he does whatever he wants, any old time. No. Steph Curry becomes free to do that good thing by disciplining his desires. You know that he spends 45 minutes a day just on footwork. Just on footwork. 45 minutes a day. Like the excellence we get to see on SportsCenter. In fact, they even say it. It's Steffortless, right? Have you heard that? If you don't, you're not an athlete or you don't watch SportsCenter or whatever. I don't know. Steffortless. It's effortless for him. It looks so easy. Why is it easy? Because he has disciplined himself over and over, repeatedly, over and over. He's disciplined his desires so that what is good is first possible and then it becomes steffortless. It becomes easier and easier to do the good thing. Well, so too in the spiritual life. Jesus wants us to be disciplined, to discipline our desires. Not to do whatever we want to do, but to do what's right. And that first is going to be a little hard for us. It's a harder path to do the good thing and to do it over and over again. It's an easy path to do whatever you want. Oh, I don't like that church teaching. I'll just do whatever I want. Oh, that makes me uncomfortable. Oh, that seems so demanding. I'll just do whatever I want. Well, you'll be mediocre. But the thing about mediocre is you never stay mediocre. You won't stay mediocre. You'll get worse. You'll get more complacent. And then you'll do whatever you want, and you won't have the freedom that God wants you to have. Because his freedom is not do whatever you want. His freedom is living in relationship with him. That's why the author says, "What son is there whom a father doesn't discipline?" God doesn't discipline us because he hates us or because he wants to make our lives miserable. He disciplines us precisely because he loves us, precisely because he's a good father. If you had a good father, you had someone who disciplined you. If you had a good mother, you had someone who disciplined you, someone who precisely said, no, you can't do whatever you want to do. You have to do what's right. Now, someone can be overly disciplinarian and be mean about it, but God is not that. He's a good father. He loves us. That's why discipline and disciple are the same root word. The Father invites us to be disciples of his Son. And the Son stands not just right next to us, but he actually works within us to direct our desires, to heal what's broken, to fix what's lame, to bring his healing and his grace into our lives so that we can actually choose what's good. He heals our desires. The thing I wanted to do so much when I was stuck in sin, all of a sudden, through grace, I don't want to do. I want to do what's right. And it's Jesus who helps. He doesn't leave us on our own. We don't have to fix ourselves. And he's not a harsh taskmaster. He gets right in our mess. And he says, all right, I'm with you. I'll suffer with you. But I'm also going to help you. And I'm going to challenge you because I love you. St. John Paul II, these little prayer cards that we have, he has just a great line. Jesus is demanding because he wishes our genuine happiness. Jesus demands things. Of course he does. The Christian life demands things. But it's because Jesus wishes our genuine happiness. He wishes our genuine freedom. So, we want to say yes to him tonight. We ask for a grace to be disciplined, not to do whatever we want to do, but to do what we most want to do, which is to live in right relationship with a God who is our Father, who loves us as sons and daughters. So my friends, don't disdain the discipline of the Lord. Don't disdain the discipline of the church. Embrace it. And in that, you'll find your freedom because you'll actually come to know Jesus.